See ya. Can you hear us?
Yep.
Okay. So, Mr. Budget Committee Chair Caldwell, take it away whenever you're ready.
No, thank you everybody for being here. We appreciate your time and participation today. So I think everybody knows everybody, so I don't know that we need to go through introductions, but I do appreciate everyone's time and attention. We'll run quickly to number two. We have an action item, approval of the minutes for October 21st, 2021, and financial statements, check registers for September, October, and November, and the budget expenditure report to date. Does anybody have any questions about any of that I would encourage Andrew to answer?
I'll make a motion to approve all of those things.
I will second that.
Thank you very much. I reviewed those and would concur with that. So with that, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you. That will bring us to number three, public comment.
Go ahead. Mayor, Andrea, do you need to do a verbal roll call for the recording? Okay. Can you go ahead and do that? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. In attendance today, we have Andrew Gruber, Andrea Pearson, Kurt Maurer, Jeff Scott, Jeff Silvestrini, Mike Caldwell, Scott Wardle, Wayne Bennion, Bob Stevenson, and Ned Hacker.
Thanks. Mayor Caldwell, back to you.
Did you need a roll call vote for the action item? No. Okay.
No, it's fine. Thanks.
Okay. That'll bring us to number three then, the public comment. Are there any members from the public that would like to comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to number four, which is an action item, the fiscal year 22 budget amendment. And I'll punch that to Andrew.
Okay, thanks a lot. We have our fiscal year budget July through June. Periodically, we update the budget. And we have one proposed amendment to the budget. This is cool. I think all of you know about this already, but something special and unusual has happened. And that is that Intermountain Healthcare has come to us and said they want to make a donation of $500,000 to support our work. They're also giving $500,000 to the Utah League of Cities and Towns. We didn't ask for this money. There's no matching requirement. Intermountain, as a corporate citizen, makes contributions to a variety of causes and efforts that they think are consistent with their mission, the social determinants of health framework, which you probably all know this already, but the notion being that the quality of healthcare alone is one component of health outcomes, but actually even more important than that are the so-called social determinants of health, like the neighborhood you're growing up in, the access you have to physical activity and food and community design and toxic stress, and all of these things have more impact on your healthcare than the quality of the healthcare itself. And they have seen the work that we at WFRC do in working with our communities to promote access to education and to jobs and to preserve open space and have great quality of life under the broad banner of the Wasatch Choice vision. And they've seen the work that we do individually with your communities through our programs like our Transportation and Land Use Connection program, where we're helping your communities to work through thorny issues of planning and visioning. And they said they want to help us support that work. In particular, they're interested in the field of work referred to as public assets development. And again, many or all of you will know what this is already, but basically the public sector, city, county, state, owns assets. They can be land, they can be buildings, think parking structures, for example, that are used for one purpose, for the public purpose. And there's the ability to integrate those public assets, either still under public ownership, or perhaps through transfer to private ownership into development activities with a write down on costs to help advance that development, shared use, for example, of parking structures with other activities and So they have been working along with Zions Bank and private public sector entities to do a cataloging of public assets inventory. And then they want to help communities like yours, ours, to figure out how to best take advantage of public assets as part of broader development strategies. Now, they're not saying to us, you must use it exactly for that, but that would be one of the areas in which the money could be used for. They are going to give us, as long as we're willing to accept it, they're going to give us $250,000 in FY22, $250,000 in FY23. And what we would just have to do is give them some reporting, exact details to be determined what that would look like. As I said, also, they're making a comparable contribution to the League of Cities and Towns and mayors. The League Board has already talked about and voted to accept this contribution, as I understand it, right?
Andrew, can I ask a quick question about that?
Of course.
So I'm looking at the leadership of the Utah League of Cities and Towns and the Wasatch Front Regional Council, and I'm looking at Jeff Silverstreeny. Did you pull this off?
Muted, Jeff.
So I did have a meeting with the medical director of Intermountain Healthcare it's been a month ago at least. I don't know when you got word about this, Andrew, but I did talked about the things that all the things that we were doing. And as mayor, as member of the league and as member of WFRC. So I'm not going to take credit for it, but
I'm just saying cookies for closers. If you got this deal closed, we want more of these conversations rather than less.
I hope that whatever I said didn't hurt. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was going to be $1 million. And then he had the conversation.
Okay, that's exactly right. Either way, that's an amazing, amazing contribution. And I'm very grateful that they're willing to step up and support this.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And Mayor Silvestrini, in all seriousness, thank you. Whatever you did, it certainly didn't hurt and it seems to have helped. So thanks. Zions Bank is coordinating also. Intermountain is the funder, but Zions Bank is working with them and with us as well. So technically the action for us to take here is to vote to recommend to the full council, which meets on January 27th, the budget amendment. The budget amendment itself is very simple. It adds $250,000. Again, this is just for FY22, that share. It adds it in as both a revenue and an expenditure. The way Kurt put this together in the budget is by expenditure, we put it in a new line item as community development activities. We have not quite figured out yet what the use of the money would be in terms of how much would be used for our own staff, how much might be used for consultant time. We want to work through the best use of this money in conjunction with the activities that we're already doing. So that approach in the budget would give us a little bit of flexibility there. That maybe the last thing I'll say here is that it is our intention to work on this in a collaborative way with the league, with the counties, with other partners, because all of us are under this Wasatch Choice banner. So this is just further advancement in that effort. So the some folks from Intermountain, don't know exactly who yet, are interested in coming to our meeting on the 27th and doing a, I'm trying to find a better way than saying dog and pony show, some sort of like a little celebration, recognition, something or other. And particularly, Mayor Caldwell, you said this already, the overlap in league and WFRC leadership on the city side, at least, that we could do it as a WFRC and league and Intermountain. And I mean, we're going to be virtual. I guess I'm that's my assumption, given Omicron, that in January 27th, we're going to be virtual. I guess you guys could overrule that if you want to. But things are so bad right now that I'm assuming we're going to be virtual, that they would Zoom in and we would. My thinking is that towards the beginning of the meeting, we do this and we have some talk and they talk and you guys talk a little bit about the great work that we can do together. So that's what's going on. That's the budget amendment. Of course, if you have any questions or suggestions or thoughts about how we handle this at the council meeting, please speak up.
I think it's prudent to expect in the end of January, the next couple of weeks, this isn't going to go and be gone by that point. So we're happy to support that. But these kind of budget amendments just does every one of our hearts well. So thank you very much for that. And with that, if Mayor Silverstreeny wants to make an action on the fiscal year 22 budget amendment after his closing that deal, we're happy to accept one.
I shouldn't take credit for closing that deal. I didn't harm the deal, but the one thing that I will say is in terms of the meeting virtually, there's a reason to do that with meeting with these folks, because I'll just say that I know that that whole corporation, my daughter is an employee of that corporation, and they are extremely concerned about their workload and the press of patients that they have at in their healthcare system and the stress on their employees. So they will appreciate if we let them know there's going to be a virtual meeting. I know that they'll appreciate that. They will appreciate anything that we can all do to try to slow the spread of this, even just a little bit, just because of what it's doing to our healthcare system. I mean, I'll just share this. I mean, my daughter's an internal medicine hospitalist physician at IMC at the Death Star Hospital. And she has been, like a lot of her colleagues, have been volunteering for extra shifts just because they're so short staffed. But she has worked 21 days straight, 12 hours a day, 21 days straight through Christmas, through New Year's, and they're exhausted. They're exhausted, and she's particularly got a tough job because her job is to tell families that your loved one isn't going to make it. I mean, that's the doctor's job that when they're like that. So it's really, really been taking a toll. So they'll appreciate us meeting by Zoom. So,
Jeff, I have a similar background. I have two brothers that are emergency physicians at McKady Hospital, and they are absolutely wiped out. And so anything we can do to send a message and say, hey, we're listening, we're hearing, we're going to do whatever we can as an organization, I think that's important messaging. And I appreciate those comments.
Well, with that, I will make a motion to approve the budget amendment to recognize the donation from Intermountain Healthcare.
Second.
Thank you. We have a first and a second on this awesome budget amendment. More of these, the better. Totally appreciate that. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that passes. Thank you very much. Cool. And great work on that. Up next, we have number 5, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, impact on WFRC.
So I'll take this one too, and then for the next item, we're going to turn to Kurt and Ned. So the infrastructure bill passed. We know this. The situation is a little funky right now with the infrastructure bill because the increase in spending in FY23 is contingent on Congress getting the appropriations done for FY22, on them getting the appropriations done for FY22. So they authorized in the infrastructure bill an increase in funding for almost all of the transportation programs, including funds that flow to WFRC. But because they are now operating under a continuing resolution that is fixed at FY21 levels, we're not yet getting the increases to come in. This doesn't cause a problem for us, but just for the state and the nation in all transportation spending, Congress needs to get their act together. So I'm saying that to you as like a matter kind of advocacy. Our members need to be hearing from us all over the country that the budget needs to get done, the appropriations need to get done for FY22. Having said that, we are then still have not gotten the final formal official allocations that we will be able to ultimately show, hopefully, if Congress gets the appropriations done for our FY22 budget.
Andrew, but, yeah. Quick question. Do you have recommendations for a fire extinguisher for that dumpster fire? Because I have no idea how to put that out.
I know. All we can do is, I mean, I don't know if you're asking that as a real question or not.
That Bob Stevenson?
Yes. The fireman Bob.
I mean, Andrew, your comment a second ago when you said, you know, our federal legislators have got to get their act together. Boy, I'll tell you, that's like a no-brainer. So anyway, that's, I don't know, it's a sad situation, totally.
Yeah. The frustrating thing is that sort of almost everybody individually is like, I'm willing to work and to compromise and everything, but the other guys won't. So it's, you know, it's frustrating. Anyway, not to go down the path here too much on that. What this looks like it will mean for WFRC's budget. And when it gets, when all the dust settles, we'll have real numbers for you guys and everything. So there's no action here. This is just an update. We've talked about the sum already. But what we anticipate for our budget is having an increase for our core programs that come actually into our WFRC budget of around 10%. So I'm talking now about our administrative budget that we use for, you know, staff salaries and consultants and building, et cetera, et cetera. Our annual budget is in the range of $6 million a year. And we think that this will boost our annual revenue by about $600,000 per year. And that would sort of flow out over the course of the 5 years of the bill. Now, I want to be clear that the way that what that means for us is not that like, woohoo, we've got an extra $600,000 to spend. Actually, what it means is that it allows us to draw down less of the balance that we have from the federal funds and stabilize that balance more over time. We are in a position now that our revenues, annual revenues, are actually exceeded to a degree by our expenditures, which means that we have to continually look for ways to moderate costs and also look to increase revenue. So this increase in revenues coming in, along with being careful about costs always, puts us in a better position to have budget stability over time. That's the way that we, I mean, among the staff, look at the impacts of this budget. So I think that's all I have to say about this at this point. Just wanted to give you all a little bit of an update in terms of what it means to WFRC's budget. Separately, there's a whole different question of the possibility for us to go out and compete collectively for federal grants. WFRC with our partners at the cities and counties and UDOT and UTA. That's a different topic area, but for this budget committee, we just wanted to give you a sense about a 10% boost on our core federal funding that comes into our budget, which to us is mainly about stabilization. Wayne or Kurt, do you want to add anything to that description?
No, thanks.
No, neither do I. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, Andrew, just a quick question.
Yep.
So as far as, have you talked to Carlos about some of this stuff? I mean, are those guys feeling frustration from their side also, or what is UDOT having to say on all this?
Yeah, I've talked with UDOT and with UTA. Here's what everybody feels, basically. The bill is a good bill. It's good for Utah. It provides stability and an increase, modest increase, and the ability on top of that formula funding, modest increase. It also provides the ability for us to go compete for competitive discretionary funds. And frustration, because given the congressional situation, we have not been able, or we're as of yet not able to have that increase in funding come in. And we don't even know if it will, if Congress can't get its act together. So to that point, all of our national associations, so the one for UDOT, that's ASHTO, the one for UTA, that's APTA, the one for us, that's NARC and AMPO, et cetera, are almost done with a joint communication to Congress saying, hey, this is a problem. But so yes, there's a degree of frustration balanced, Bob, against the fact that right now we could be in a much worse situation. Congress could have just kicked the can down the road and not passed a bill, or we could have fallen off a funding cliff. So all things considered, we're in a better position than we could have been. But it is frustrating that the appropriations hasn't happened to follow the authorization from the infrastructure bill. Okay. Okay. That's all I've got on that, Mayor Caldwell, unless anybody else wants to add anything there.
Any other questions? Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate that. Up next, we'll go to number six, status updates, compensation and performance analysis, and the internal audit.
So, Ned, we've seen you jumping in and out here. Ned is on vacation, but was nice enough to join us anyway. If you're here, you can do an update on 6A. If you're not with us, Kurt can take that one.
I see his name. Part of it depends on where is he at?
He's in Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. All right. That's cold in Wisconsin.
He's in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. If you're in Maui, I was going to say, I don't know if I want to hear from Maui.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's flip this. Hey, Kurt, if it's okay with you, Mr. Chair, let's do the status update on the internal audit first. But I just say both of these two items are just process updates on things that we have talked about as a budget committee. We just want to report back to you on where we stand on these two efforts. So, Kurt, you want to do the internal audit one first?
Sure. Public entities required by the Office of the USUS State Auditor to conduct an annual fraud risk assessment. And in 2020, the fraud risk assessment for the council came back with a score of 355, which is a low risk. But one of the recommendations discussed by the council was to continue to reduce the risk of fraud was to contract with an internal audit firm. And in August of this year, of 2021, we contracted with BDO USA LLP to conduct some internal audit work. And the scope of work is going to include an enterprise risk assessment, determining and documenting the audit universe, and developing a five-year audit plan based upon the risk assessment, audit universe, and input from management. We have been working, the leadership has been working with BDO to prepare and distribute an enterprise risk assessment. Our primary point of contact is Sonia Laveau, and we've had communications with her about who should participate in the assessment, and the budget committee is our key participants in the workings of WFRC's financial and policies and procedures. She is in the process of finalizing the enterprise risk assessment. It will be sent to budget committee and some staff members. It'll be a 12 to 15 question survey. And we anticipate that being distributed within the next 2 to 3 weeks, if not sooner. But what will happen before it's distributed, you'll be receiving an email from me and just explaining and giving additional background in writing before that risk assessment survey is sent to the key participants. Are there any questions related to the internal audit update?
Kurt, let me just add quickly. First of all, I want to thank Commissioner Scott again for helping us to go through the process of selecting that audit firm. And again, survey to determine, are there areas that we should focus on for our internal audit work going forward? That's the purpose of the survey. So you'll have your ability to express your thoughts about this area I feel totally comfortable about, this area not totally sure, let's put some more energy, or maybe this is generally an area that warrants more attention, whatever, purchasing, contracting, hiring, whatever the areas may be. And then we'll do, with the results of that survey, we develop, as Kurt said, our internal audit plan going forward. I want to say one more thing about this, and that is we have a high degree of confidence in our systems and procedures that we have developed over time. We take this stuff really seriously. But we also understand and think that there is value in not taking anything for granted and revisiting and having external eyes look at our stuff to make sure that if there's improvements to be made or things that we're missing, that we see it. So that's why we're looking forward to going through this internal assess audit with an external firm to help us do the internal audit, if that makes sense. Yeah, so I'll just repeat what Kurt said. Comments, questions about this? Okay. Cool, so look for an email from Kurt.
That's informational, that doesn't need a vote, correct?
Correct. Okay. Should we move on to the last topic then, the 6A then, Mayor?
Compensation and performance analysis. Yes, please.
Okay, well, let's give Ned one more shot. Ned, you there?
I know he's joined via phone, but your phone is muted, Ned.
Kurt, why don't you just go ahead and take this one, okay?
Okay, absolutely. This is in the email, it's just talking about how WFRC, our greatest asset are our employees, and due to the COVID and just the disruption there, WFRC staff's been working remotely, and it's caused a lot of people to, not necessarily just WFRC staff, but staff throughout the country, to evaluate whether they, some of their working conditions and how they plan to work. And so with that in mind, the leadership of WFRC had some internal discussions about what we can best do to retain the existing outstanding staff we have and attract other talent. And we thought we would do a compensation survey, salary survey, and it was last done in 2013. And last year, we sold personnel systems and services. It was in May of last year to conduct some work for us. They were going to review and update our job descriptions, develop and conduct a salary survey and compensation analysis, update the compensation plan and policies as need be, and update our performance and evaluation process. The consultant is continuing to make progress on this and to complete the scope of work, and we anticipate its completion in the spring of 2022. And that will give us some ideas about where we stand. We want to be with our compensation middle of the, we don't want to be too high or too low. We'd like to be right in the middle where we think we need to be.
You know, I know I told several of you that I anticipated we'd be done at 3:30, and I want to be mindful of that. But I do just want to ask you all the question. It's a tight labor market. And so to Kurt's opening point, our employees are our greatest asset, and we want to make sure that we're compensating them fairly and that they, you know, feel that WFRC is a great place to work. And I just wonder if this is something that you all are experiencing dealing with as well, tight labor market, and how you're handling that.
A tight labor market is the nice way to put it.
There is no labor market. It's probably the better way to say it.
I would agree.
And, you know, Andrew, I don't know if I told you this or not, but we actually here at the county, about time we started seeing the go to work at Wendy's for $18 an hour and realizing that
Wait, that's what they pay in Davis County?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about, Davis County.
Better than mayor's pay.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, anyway, when we realized that we were paying our jailers $12 an hour, we figured that we better do something, especially when we were down 39 jailers and we couldn't get anybody to come in. But we actually did pay raises or adjustments here in three phases. Those that were low end, we gave a straight across the board 12% increase. The mid-range employees got a 8% increase, and then the upper was a 6% increase, which was effective actually back in October. And we're still reevaluating the job descriptions and the with the market study. And yeah, there's problems out there everywhere. So
we did a market. Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Oh yeah, we implemented a study as well to check and see where our employees, where their salaries lined up comparable to other positions in like industry, private and public. And we're hoping to have that back in the next month or so. But we did also bring some people up to market, especially in law enforcement. And it's tough. We were without a GIS person in the county for about 9 months. We were contracting it out. Finally got somebody. So I think it's a good move. It's necessary.
I read a report this morning that said it's inflation is at 7% right now, which is the highest it's been in 40 years. And we're looking at $4.5 million with our study. We did a study as well to try and keep and retain. And we're looking at $4.5 million. That'll be my fourth truth and taxation hearing in 10 years. But I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. You can't say no, that we're not going to address that or talk about it and stick our head in the sand when that's what's happening. And that's what's happening in every one of our communities. So now we're going to propose a truth and taxation hearing, and we're going to try to move with what those studies portrayed in terms of where those people need to be positioned and everything else. And I agree, Andrew, I totally support you keeping and retaining your people. And any conversations that we need to have to keep that in focus, I'm more than supportive of.
You know, Mike, what's interesting is I didn't see you down there, but I went down to that Taxpayers Association summit they held yesterday to talk about stuff. And as the state leaders talked about the dollars that they had in excess and where they were looking at putting it, whether it's in water or infrastructure, then the next guy got up and talked a little bit about property tax and how we have to be very careful that we're not raising property taxes too much, and that the impact with the cost of homes and et cetera, et cetera. And I just sat there and kind of smiled and thought, you know, you guys have boatloads of money coming in because of the nature of where you are. But when it comes to property taxes, which is basically the lifeblood of, you know, counties and cities, how are we supposed to pay our people? I mean, it's an interesting scenario with this whole thing. So
I don't disagree, but you know, I'll say on our end, we've done all the math and analysis, and for us to hire a police officer, put him through post, put him through the 6 months of training and everything else, we pay $86,000 to train a brand new police officer before they can hit the street. And when we're in a wage competition, when you have 700 open positions along the Wasatch Front in law enforcement, we pay $86,000 to just train somebody up, and then they leave for $2 more an hour or anything else. It is a really brutal environment. And so if you can keep and retain the people, I think that is way better time and money invested than it is to just open it up and go willy-nilly with a little bit of that. We have a priority in Ogden City to try and keep and retain our people, because it's a hard thing to do, to bring brand new people in and to try and get them to fit into the culture and see if their chemistry matches and everything else. So anything you can do to keep people in and help them feel appreciated, I'm in full support of.
I agree.
Councilman Wardle, what about you? What are you experiencing?
We're in the same position. We're finishing the salary study of all of our departments. We did a 4.5%, almost a 4% increase in the last budget. We'll make another adjustment in the spring as the study comes back. But the labor market out here, we're in the same boat. You just can't hire people. On the police side, our sheriff's department, We're about a year out of filling places because of post and trying to get people through. So it's extremely difficult.
So we're not, there's no action here. This is just an update, as Kurt was talking about on this analysis. And I don't know where this leads us exactly, but I could imagine that it might be something that gets borne out in our budget process for next year. you know, for our FY23 budget, we may need to adjust our salary ranges, and that might have some bearing then, of course, on salaries under this general point that we want to make sure that we retain our awesome team. So thanks for all the support. That's just raising the issue in the study that we're doing here.
Andrew, I can tell you from my end, I do think it's important that your employees know that it's a serious topic. You're committed to taking care of them. You're going to do everything you can to figure that out, and you want to make it competitive. So I'm really supportive of that. Like you said, you don't have all that information and data yet, but just the fact that you're doing some of those studies and taking it seriously, I think is an important message to send to your employees.
Mike, one thing that you just said that I think is critical is we've got to be serious if we're going to do this to help him too. I think not only this committee, but then the at-large committee. Nothing is more discouraging to an employee, I've learned, than to do a salary study and not act.
Agree 100%. That
just demoralizes people.
That's why I've committed political suicide by doing this will be our fifth truth in taxation hearing in my 10 years. And we didn't have one in the prior 28 years. So I agree with you 100%, and we're totally committed to that. And Andrew, as budget chair, I'll say we're committed to taking care of your people and looking at all that and figuring out how we can make that work. So, there are some things I'll lay on the sword for, and my employees is one of those things I'll lay on the sword for.
Well, thanks all of you for your the insight and support for the team. That's really appreciated. I know that I'm saying that for myself and speaking for Andrea, Wayne, Kurt, Ned here as well. I think that's all we've got. Anything else on this item from anybody?
Right, that moves us to number 7, Executive Director's Report.
So the only thing I've got is just a look ahead. So we've got our Regional Growth Committee that some of you participate on. That's next Thursday. And then the following Thursday is our council meeting, 2 p.m. Thursday, January 27th. As we just are acknowledging, our plan is to do that virtually. For the Budget Committee stuff, Mayor Caldwell, we would presume to have an abbreviated version of this. We would do the thing with Intermountain and then actually take action on amending the budget. And we thought that perhaps you as Budget Committee Chair could just, in a sentence or two, just hit on the internal audit work and the compensation analysis, just to let the council remind them that we're doing that work, but not really go into a discussion about it. That's our thought.
You had me at a sentence or two.
Okay. Okay. And of course, the legislative session starts next week for those of you that are keeping track of this stuff. So you should all have gotten an email from Miranda about our weekly legislative meetings on Thursday morning. I'm not going to go into legislative stuff right now unless any of you want me to. But we're still on the whole virtual, not virtual thing. We're assuming we're going to do those in person with an option to participate virtually, at least with audio. We think the counties, Bob, we were just talking with Commissioner Scott and Wardle and Councilman Wardle about the fact that we're still assuming that UAC is doing their meetings in person, on Thursday morning. So we assume that we'll do ours in person but have, both options as a hybrid available. Okay. Any thoughts about that?
Well, I heard somebody say, I think yesterday evening I was talking to him, and they said, what will be interesting through this session is similar to what's happening to the Jazz right now, is to see how many legislators are all sitting in those rooms and all get sick. And all of a sudden, they're in anybody there as far as that goes. And I think that what we need to do, with UAC, the league, and also Wasatch Front, we just need to make sure we're very careful when we do meet together. And, as far as I'm concerned, even though I know there's no mask mandate in state offices, I think the thing is that we pretty well try to set an example and keep social distancing as far as that goes, because people are going to get, they're going to get sick. So
if the legislative meetings I've been in recently are any indicator, almost nobody is wearing masks. I actually have gone back to wearing masks when I'm in real masks, N95 masks, when I'm in these meetings, because it is just running rampant right now. But okay.
I saw Delta Airlines had 8,000 employees come down.
Yeah. You know,
and we have so many people in our administration that have been really careful that are getting it too. So, I mean, I just think an abundance of caution is okay and have no problem with that at all.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. You know, Andrew, on, you know, because on the NARC meeting, you know, kind of backing off on that, which I agree with, I actually said I'm not going to attend the NACO meeting either. They're starting to be concerned on it. So I'm kind of backing off on both those as far as goes. But, you know, before we go, Andrew, I do want to check with something. You know, I see where Andrea has those beautiful quilts back there. Am I assuming that you and Andrea and the group during this COVID thing have sat in that break room back there and you've kind of all hand-stitched those quilts? Is there one in your office that I can't see? I mean,
Andrea?
Those beautiful things are what I do with my mother-in-law, or what I did with my mother-in-law pre-pandemic. Every Saturday I would go, and yeah, I miss it.
I think it's awesome. Everybody needs to have.
Well, you know, it's my padded room.
Andrea, let me ask you this question. I mean, if we could come up with a mosaic that basically has like Layton City's logo, could we create something that I could have Caldwell hang in his office? Because he knows that through all those truth and taxations, it's been because Layton City's been behind him that he's been able to make his way into a third term.
I might pull it over myself at bed at night, but I'm not going to hang it in my office, Bob.
Andrea, this sounds
to adjourn.
yeah, this has gone off the rails. Okay, that's my fault. I apologize, Bob. You need to stop. Can we mute him? With that, we'll just say next meeting is March 10th, 2022. I appreciate the heck out of all of you. Wish I could see you in person. This has been a rough couple years for everybody managing through this. So, Thank you all for everything you're doing, Andrew. Those budget amendments are awesome, and we need to find a way to thank them for contributing to the league and to WFRC and everything else. And so let's work on some ideas and ways to keep people involved in that. I appreciate that. That's an enormous investment from a local company, and I appreciate everything you all do, because this has been an impossible couple of years.
Thanks, Mayor. Thanks to all of you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. With that, I'm not going to ask for a motion to adjourn. We'll just go ahead and adjourn.
Okay, done.
Executive privilege.
Thanks, right? Everybody.
Thanks, y'all. See y'all soon.